So I'm on Google here, the screen, Rachel. And you know, okay, so you see Google, it says
I see
web,
it.
images, maps, news, shopping, Gmail. I know what all those are. If you go to the more tab and you click on it,
I never go to
blogs.
that.
I love to do blogs.
Oh.
And then there's Google Books. A lot of people don't know about the joy that is Google Books.
There it is, huh?
It may seem like a dream to literature lovers searching for something to read, but it could turn out to be a nightmare for authors who liked someone else's work so much they barred it without consent. It's been around since about 2004. Google Books works with the libraries of Harvard, Stanford, the University of Michigan, and the University of Oxford, as well as the New York Public Library, to digitally scan books from their collection so that users worldwide can search them in Google. Now, if you type that last sentence maybe into Google Books, you'll find out I lifted it word for word from the press release.
Allison.
So you got the idea?
Yep.
Recently, a blog devoted to romance novels called Smart, word that rhymes with witches who love trashy books, posted an entry about how the Google Book function found a lot of similarities between the works of Cassie Edwards, who has written more than 100 Native American-themed romance novels, and a variety of non-attributed sources. Those sources include an article about black-footed ferrets from Defenders of Wildlife magazine and a 1929 Pulitzer Prize-winning novel. Her main publisher, Signet, originally denied it, but later issued another statement saying original denials may have been premature and they plan to examine all of Edwards' books that they publish, and they will handle the matter accordingly. Google Books, good for some, not so good for others. Paul Collins wrote about Google Books as a way to uncover plagiarists in Slate magazine in 06, and he joins us this morning. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
So, what was actually the original purpose of Google Books, and then when did it morph into this literary crime-fighting tool?
Well, I mean, the original purpose behind it was really it's sort of a logical extension of Google itself and of the idea of having this enormous searchable database. In this case, it was just that you're taking the contents of libraries and putting them into a searchable form. And I think it. I don't know that it really occurred to too many people initially that this might also turn out to be very useful for catching plagiarism, but that's exactly what happened. When you can actually look up these things, and some book that's, otherwise might completely escape someone's notice because it was published, as in the Edwards case, 80 years ago, you can find that just as easily as something that was published last year.
Something we should point out, though, some of the biggest takers of that which was not theirs were some of the great authors out there. Tell us who appears to have had some taken some liberties.
Well, there are some people that we kind of know already historically that had sticky fingers. Probably the most famous case is Herman Melville. In Moby Dick, there are entire sections of the book, entire paragraphs. And it's usually the sort of the technical literature about whaling that he lifted whole from authors like Henry Cheever, who are these maritime authors that actually, in Cheever's case, he was a guy that used to review Melville's books.
Wow.
So not really a smart guy to be stealing from.
Right. It's interesting that you said that Melville took things that were explanatory or technical, because that's kind of what did Cassie Edwards in, if she in fact did this. Apparently, one of the blog writers suggested that her friend, who was interested in romance novels, check out Cassie Edwards. And this friend was a classicist. And she noticed in the writing that passages of Cassie Edwards' novels seemed to veer from that breathless romantic style to a very didactic, explanation-based paragraphs, just huge chunks of them. So my question is, do most plagiarists just get busted by people who are out there actually looking for this, or is it just a fluke like this case with Cassie Edwards?
Well, I think traditionally, for most teachers, for example, that's normally how you find these things, and that was certainly true in the pre-Google era when you were reading a student's paper and you were getting a lot of kind of writing, and then all of a sudden they sound like they're a college professor.
Right.
You sort of wonder what's going on. And in the old days, you might actually recognize the piece of writing, or you might just suspect that something was up, and in that case, you would simply ask the student, "So what were you thinking when you wrote this particular paragraph?" And if they started to stammer and didn't have anything to say, you knew probably something was up. Now you have a way of actually confirming that suspicion, and that's exactly what happened in this case. It didn't match the rest of the writing.
We're speaking with Paul Collins, who wrote about Google Books as a way to uncover plagiarists in Slate magazine back in 2006. And in your article, you wrote, Paul, I bet in the next decade at least one major literary work gets busted. Such thefts don't necessarily end a literary reputation. Do you think that latter part is true for modern authors if they're found to be plagiarists? Isn't that a real problem in terms of their sales?
Well, yes and no. I mean, it can be a problem. See, here's the funny thing about the Edwards case. They were finding a lot of the stuff coming from articles that were in newsletters or from fairly old books in some cases. And that, I think, can be embarrassing for a publisher. But a publisher, frankly, isn't going to worry that much about it if there's no one around to sue them. But what happened in this case was actually just over the weekend, they found that there are some passages that appear to have been taken from a novel that won the Pulitzer Prize in 1930.
Right.
And it's still under copyright. So, I mean, it seems to me unlikely that there would be a lawsuit coming from something like this. But nonetheless, that's the kind of thing that's going to worry a publisher a bit more, particularly if it's an academic work, not a romance novel. But
in your research, did you uncover any reason why a modern writer in the world of the Internet would take the risk of copying someone else's work?
You know, I can only assume it's time pressure a lot of the time. In this particular case, Edwards is someone who's, I think, published something like literally like 100 novels in the last 25 years. So that's someone that must be under a fair amount of time pressure from their publisher. And I think, as with so many things, when someone is under a deadline and is trying to get things done quickly, the temptation to cut corners becomes much greater. And I think in the past, people probably would have just hoped that no one would notice.
Right.
But it's become not only much easier to notice, but much easier to follow through on that suspicion. In the old days, someone might have noticed this and wondered, I wonder where this came from. But you would never really know.
How common do you think it is today? Just your opinion, just a guesstimate. Do you think it is that plagiarism is happening right now? That some book that's in the Barnes & Noble, the library, that's a modern published title, might have parts that belong to somebody else?
It happens. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a terribly common practice, in part because although students are very prone to doing it, someone who's working professionally as a writer is probably at a point where they're not going to feel the need, either that they're not going to feel the need to do that, or even if they do, they're aware enough, particularly from the example of cases like this, of the distinct possibility of getting busted. But it seems like every year, that some sort of prominent case comes up where someone gets caught for doing something like this. Just recently, I was researching. I have a piece in New Scientist magazine this week, and when I was researching that, I was reading one of my sources and sort of having this sense of deja vu, and went and plugged it into Google, and sure enough, there was another book that had been written 10 years earlier, and they'd lifted entire paragraphs out of it, and I'd read this book before. So it does happen.
Writer Paul Collins is the founder of the Collins Library, an imprint of McSweeney Books. He's frequently heard on NPR's Weekend Edition Saturday as their literary detective. Hey, Paul, thanks for taking the time today.
Oh, it's good to be here.